Hello, prophet. This is a sign of royalty. I picked it up over in Waterloo at a horse sale. It's been so long since I've been here on earth that I think I have forgotten what I did while I was here. So I got together with Moses and some of the other gentlemen, and we rehearsed what we had done years ago. 2,500 years ago, I walked here upon this earth. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. You'd like to know, wouldn't you? First of all, it's hot. My name is Isaiah. It means, and oh, this is important, it means salvation is of Yahweh, Jehovah. My mommy and my daddy said, we're going to have a boy, and he's going to have hair growing out of his mouth. I was raised in royalty. My daddy was the son of a king. And therefore, I got good training. And I saw how the kings lived. And I met many other men who were speakers for God. And as a little fella, I said, someday, that I could proclaim Isaiah, salvation is of Jehovah. I married a lovely lady. We had two boys. You can read about them in the 8th chapter of my book. My wife insisted on giving them long names. I had nicknames for them. But even those names meant much, because they indicated what those boys would be and what they would do for Jehovah God, even as their daddy. I lived just about all my life in Zion, the holy city. You call it Jerusalem. Oh, a couple of times my folks took me to some other countries, but I lived most of my life in Judah. To the north of us, the land of Israel. Oh, how God punished my people up north. But I spent my time in Judah. And I preached and I wrote and I prayed for the people of Judah. Four kings came and went during my 120 years. I guess my favorite was Hezekiah. He was a good man. He was the last king I knew. The first king was Uzziah. His life was like this. You, in the English-speaking world, call it roller coaster, ups and downs. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, Jehovah caused him to prosper. But Uzziah got his eyes off of the Lord, and he died a leper. I watched him go off into eternity. And as a boy, I had seen what a great man he was, and I learned a lesson. Few men end well. What a great start he had. But what a tragic finish. And then there was Jotham. Just reigned for 2 years. Wasn't too much. But then the wicked king Ahaz took his place. Oh, how he led my people into idolatry, into sin, into godlessness. God took him. Almost reigned for 25 years. And then Hezekiah came. Moses said to me, when you get down there to Colorado Springs, under the shadow of that big mountain, draw some pictures. They like that. I don't do much drawing in heaven. You don't know what that is, do you? That's a cloud. That's the Tigris and that's the Euphrates. And over here was a great country called Babylon. Over here was another great country, Assyria. Down over here was another great world empire, Egypt. And here we were in the middle. This is called, I can't spell it, Mediterranean. And that's Jerusalem. And we were caught between these great world empires. You see, I was born, about 768 B.C., before the Messiah. And this great nation of Babylon, this great empire of Assyria, were constantly fighting Egypt. It was 25 years after I was born that Rome was founded by Romus. Sparta, Athens, about 20 years later than that. 750 B.C. Some of you could have been around by the looks of you. Some of you are almost asleep. That's me. You have in your hands and on your laps a book called the Bible. And right in the middle of the Bible almost, a little to the right, is my book, Isaiah. Salvation is of Jehovah. It's the biggest book in this library of books. Oh, I'm humbled and I'm honored that God... Well, let me say it this way. Peter wrote, holy men of old wrote, as the Spirit of God carried them along. I didn't know what I was writing. I just knew that God had said, Isaiah, speak to my people, Judah. I had two-fold job. One, I was to speak forth whatever God said. If God said it, I was to speak it. Oh, if in your day there were more preachers who would just say whatever God said rather than what they thought or what they read in some book. But I had another job, and that was I was to foretell things that were to happen in the future. I didn't know what was going to happen any more than you do tomorrow, next week, next year. But God spoke through me. And when you read my book, Isaiah, make sure you distinguish between what I'm saying to the people of Judah and what I'm saying to you today. Would you like an illustration? You wouldn't. I'm going to give it to you anyway. The 44th chapter of my book. I didn't put them in chapters. Somebody did that to sell more books. Do you find it? Isaiah 44. My nation, just a little bitty nation of Judah, was taken captive by Babylon 900 miles away. And we became a buffer state against Egypt. Cyrus was king of Babylon when God said to a buddy of mine, not a buddy then, but he is now, Ezra and Nehemiah. He said, Ezra, I'm going to lay upon the heart of Cyrus to let you go back from captivity to your country. Now, I didn't know that was going to happen, but listen to what God said through me 200 years before it happened. I just lost something. Pin another medal on me. Verse 28. I am the same who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He shall fulfill all my purposes. He shall say to Jerusalem, she shall be rebuilt. And to the temple, you shall be founded again. Class. Amazing. 200 years before it ever happened, before anyone knew that Osiris would be king, God said, my people will be dispersed. My people will come back again. And my temple shall be rebuilt and founded again in the city of Zion. Do you know your Old Testament? My people went through four different stages. Stage number one, we were campers. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We lived in tents. We marauded around all of this land. God said, I'm going to give you this land. It's yours by promise. Finally, we settled down in that land. We quit being campers And we became a commonwealth. We became a nation. And we were ruled by God. He called the shots. He directed us. But my people did not want that. They said, give us a king like every other country has. And Saul and David and Solomon became the crown of Israel. But it wasn't long that this nation with a crown king disobeyed God and served idols. And the last part of the Old Testament is the story of captivity. We were scattered abroad, primarily into Assyria and into Babylon. Now I told you, if you were listening, that I had a twofold job. God said, Isaiah, salvation is of the Lord. I want you to speak to my people, Judah. But I want you to foretell of the coming. I'm in here. I want you to speak to my people concerning captivity. I am going to disperse them. But tell them that there is a Messiah who is going to come. Would you turn in my book to chapter 7? Oh, this is so beautiful. Chapter 7, verse 14. This is the promise of a coming Messiah. 700 years before it happened. Assuredly, my Lord will give you a sign of his own accord. Look, a young woman is with child and is about to give birth to a son. Let her name him Emmanuel, God with us. Flip over to the 9th chapter in your Bible. Verse 6, for a child is born unto us, a son has been given us, authority is settled on his shoulders. He has been named, the Almighty God is planning grace, the Eternal Father, a peaceable ruler. I didn't know what I was writing, but my God. I lost something again.
Let's go to Plan B.
And while he's doing that, I will check my notes to see where I am. I have no idea. Oh yeah, there we are. How are you doing? That's good, Plan B. Let's read you. God said, Isaiah, I want you to speak to the people of Judah. Job number one. Job number two, I want you to tell them of coming captivity, dispersion, Holocaust. Job number three, I want you to tell my people that there's a Messiah coming, born of a virgin. He shall be God with us. You folks, if you sit here in this beautiful church, I want you to know we knew nothing about the church. We had no idea what God's plan was for the ages for you Gentiles. You, the offscouring of the world. You heathens. But God in grace made known to another friend of mine, Paul the Apostle, that he was not only going to select Jewish people, but folks like you as well. And then the fourth job that God gave to me was to tell in prophecy about the coming kingdom age. You folks haven't even seen it yet. But the Messiah is going to come back and reign here upon earth. That's when the lion and the lamb will lie down together in peace. That's when men will take their swords and make them into plowshares. Oh, what a great day is coming. Now, who is a prophet? What is my job? I told you what I'm supposed to be doing. I didn't sit down and write a book. I delivered some messages. I wrote some letters. I recorded history. Oh, for instance, it was a pretty good one. Hezekiah was king. And these people from up here came down to Jerusalem and surrounded it. We're going to take this captive. They had a king. His name was Sennacherib. And he said, I'm just going to take that little old city of yours. I'm going to level it. Hezekiah the king got this message. And he spread it out on a table before his God. And he said, oh God, don't let those people do that to your city. You can read about it in my book. And without a single soldier doing a thing, the next morning we woke up and 250,000 of the enemy were dead. God did it. God delivered his city. And yet, with a miracle like that, my people would not believe in my God. I think there's several things about a prophet that you should know. Number one, a prophet must be a man who is intimate with his God. He must have a relationship with the Almighty like that. Brother to brother, eye to eye, heart to heart, so God can say, Isaiah, this is what you say, but even though I don't understand it, I will speak to my people. The only time a prophet appeared here for God was during a time of apostasy and declension. In good times, there were no prophets. But God sent men who would speak his message and say, turn to God. Therefore, we are known as revivalists. I don't know what people think today of a revivalist. Turn to God. Repent of your sin. Seek salvation of the Lord. Hate the evil. Love the good. But you know, we were more than revivalists. We were patriarchs. Not just because we were old, but we loved our country. We would die for our country. I loved Jerusalem. I loved the temple. I loved the people. I loved my God. You have a song in America. This is my country, land that I love. I have that same song. Not for Colorado. Not for Washington, D.C., but for Jerusalem. I love my country, land of my birth. And my job was to speak that message from God. Well, people didn't like it very well. I don't remember exactly how I did die. I remember there was a sword, and suddenly I lost my head. They think I knew I was in heaven with Jehovah. 120 years of age, you know. You forget some things. I guess I wasn't the most popular guy in all the world. By the way, what's heaven like? It's great. We had a professor come to heaven. Not too many, but we had some. And of all things, this one had been a professor at Texas A&M. We were so surprised to see him. But there he was, this olive grace. We asked what he did. We found out he was a geologist. Oh, what was the greatest thing that happened to you as a geologist? Well, he said, the Americans sent a man to the moon. Came back, had all these moon rocks. They gave them to the University of Texas. Said, study them, work them over. Tell us what you think. And I said to this professor, did that make you kind of envious? And I said, yeah. He said, we insisted we get some moon rocks. We insisted so hard that unknown to us, they went down to the King Ranch. They went out into this field where all the cattle were, and they found some rocks that looked just like moon rocks. They brought them back and gave us to us. I said, here you Aggies, here's some moon rocks. Study them. Find out what you think. Oh, we laughed and we laughed in heaven. We have a good time in heaven, by the way. No tears, no sorrow, no pain. All joy, happiness. Some of these Texas A&M stories just keep us alive in heaven. Weeks went by. Finally, this Texas Aggie, would you like to hear the rest of the story? Finally, this Texas Aggie professor said, we examined those moon rocks. We finally came up with the only result that we could discover, and that was that the old saying is true. The cow jumped over the moon. Oh, my. It's good for a prophet like me to hear something like that when I died the way I did. You say to me, Isaiah, how did you ever end up doing what you did?
Would you turn with me to the sixth chapter of the book that has my name? And by the way, my book is called The Little Bible. Did you know that? There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. The first 39 chapters of my book tell about the story of Israel and Judah and God's unfailing love to an apostate people. There are 27 chapters. The end of my book, there are 27 books in the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 40 tells about John the Baptist and the coming of the Messiah. But where did I get all this? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I beheld my Lord. You know, men and women in the 20th century, sometimes God has to take somebody very precious to us away so we can get our eyes on the Lord. Even kings and leaders and wonderful people get in the way so we can't see God. In the year that he died, I beheld my Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne, and the skirts of his robes filled the temple. Then I heard these angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord of hosts. His presence fills all the earth." And when I heard all of that, I realized how unworthy I was. You can read what I said there. "Woe is me, for I am undone, a man of unclean lips." And then the beautiful story. They came and they touched my lips with a hot coal from off the altar. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." That was my commissioning. That's when God said, "Isaiah, you're my man. For the next 80 years, you will speak my message to a people who have eyes to see and see not, ears to hear and hear not, hearts to understand and understand not." You say, "Isaiah, of all that you wrote in this book of 66 chapters, what means most to you?" Oh, friend, that which means most to you, would you turn with me to the 53rd chapter of this beautiful book? And you know, this chapter is so wonderful because it's halfway between chapter 40 and chapter 66. It's at the heart of the chapters that correspond to the New Testament. The last 27 books of my book, the last 27 chapters, at the heart of it is this great, great chapter. Would you follow along as I begin to read with let's start with verse 3. "He was despised, shunned by men, a man of suffering, familiar with disease. As one who hid his face from us, he was despised. We held him of no account, yet in our sickness that he was buried. Our suffering that he endured, we accounted him plagued, smitten and afflicted of God. He was wounded for my sins. He was crushed because of mine iniquities. He bore the chastisement that made me whole. And by his stripes, I am healed. Oh, we have gone astray like sheep. Each one of us has gone his own way. The Lord visited upon him the guilt of all of us. He was maltreated, yet he was submissive. He didn't open his mouth like a sheep being led to the slaughter, like a ewe dumb before those who were to shear her. He opened not his mouth. By oppressive judgment he was taken away. Who shall describe his abode? For he was cut off from the land of the living through the sin of my people who deserved the punishment. His grave was set among the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no injustice and had spoken no falsehood, the Lord chose to crush him by disease, that if he made himself an offering for guilt, he might see offspring and have long life. And that through him the Lord's purposes might prosper. And out of his anguish he shall see it. He shall enjoy it to the full through his devotion. My righteous servant makes many righteous, and in their punishment that he bears, surely I will give him the many as his portion. He shall receive the multitude as his spoil, for he exposed himself to death, was murdered among the sinners, whereas he bore the guilt of many and made intercession for we sinners. My people do not understand that there had to be this, there could be the crown. The suffering Savior as a servant, the Messiah, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gives the power to become the children of God. And someday he's going to return again and rule in righteousness and judge and grace. God led me to speak the words of this prophecy, Isaiah. Salvation is of the Lord. And if you have never accepted my Savior as your Savior, I plead with you, as I did with my own people, accept him today. The Christ of Calvary, one of these days, is going to be the King of Glory. God bless you, and ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink. Amen.
Thanks, Isaiah. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, how grateful we are to you this morning for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word and for the privilege that we have to read or not to read. We pray that you'd forgive us for spending our time in other ways. We just ask you that you'd really lay on our heart this morning the importance to you that it is, and indeed in our behalf, that we study your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can worship in a church that upholds you and upholds the gospel. And Father, thanks this morning for Bob and for the effort that he puts into making this class successful into teaching, and also for Walt. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be guilty of abusing the many blessings that you lay on us each week. And Father, as we bow this morning, many of us have concerns on our hearts for loved ones and good friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we just commit them to you anew. Father, we thank you that you're a God that hears and a God that answers, that it isn't just a matter of us saying words, but that you're sensitive to us, and help us to be sensitive to you. And Father, as the days come and go, we pray that we could just learn to love you more and serve you better, that our priority list would be in order. We just commit that to you this week, that we could just be a better Christian and a better witness for you. We pray too, Lord, this morning for those that are unable to be here, and just ask you to bless them wherever they are. We look forward now to a good day and a good week centered around the person of your Son, and we pray in his name. Amen.